Save it! Save it. No, don't save it. Let your freak flags fly, you guys. This is my favorite Christmas carol growing up. Frank Sinatra, this vinyl record. For me, this song is the very, very meaning of Christmas. I mean, we've all heard Jingle Bells, but dig this shit.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Welcome one and all to a very special Harmontown. For the very last time in the year of our Lord 2013, Harmontown is now in session. Won't you welcome to the stage the reason for the season, the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Hello. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. It's a holiday special, Jeff. It's a
cavalcade of holiday celebration.
We're going to have countdowns and... years in review.
Ballads sung by children. At one point, the entire room is slightly flooded, then frozen, and we all skate out to the parking lot.
Special Christmas wishes, dances, a little Christmas rap,
and then a very heartwarming poem that you improvise at the very end.
Yep. And gifts for everybody.
Everybody.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. This would be a good time for a beefsteak Bill to step into action and bring a bag full of goodies.
Yeah. It was kind of okay. Well, let's see.
I think it must be said that. Oh God damn it! Forgotten your name, Anatoly. Anatoly is dressed up like some sort of weird cross between Saint Nick and Krampus. Anatoly, get on stage. Everybody, Instagram the shit out of this right now. I mean, what in the gay porn is going on up here? Anatoly wearing as Adam Goldberg properly says, he is Anatoly correct. He's wearing a red Santa toque and little short shorts, red and some UGG boots, and he's really ready for Santa Monica Boulevard at any moment.
Anatoly, is this your way of saying that it's colder in Russia? Like, are you being kind of like homesick and going like, "Fuck you, weather pussies"?
Yeah, fuck you, most definitely.
Yeah. You seem to be engaged in your Soviet given right to intoxication as usual.
I'm definitely some kind of red here.
Merry Christmas.
Anatoly,
don't celebrate Christmas in Russia, so I won't accept it.
Oh, okay. You're committing to the whole atheist thing in Russia still?
Not really. I mean, we have just different kind of Christmas.
Yeah.
No, there was one like no one cares about, which like. Who cares about Christmas? No one.
What is it? What's the Russian Christmas?
We celebrate Christmas on like old wrong calendar, so it's like we celebrate Christmas on this January 7th, and it's like mostly religious holiday, so most people don't care about it. They just drink and eat and.
Is it like a winter solstice thing? It's honoring the end of the year.
No, we have New Year for. For this.
New Year in Russia has got to be pretty intense.
Basically, yeah. New Year is basically a knockoff from European Christmas. Uh-huh. That's how it's like origins of Russian New Year. They like stole Christmas from Europe and changed Santa Claus to the great guy who is way better than Santa Claus.
What's his name?
His name is... In Russian, it's Death Moroz, which means...
Death Moroz?
That's great. I mean, that can't be right. Death Moroz. And it means like...
In Soviet Russia, year ends you.
Yeah. I don't remember Soviet part of Russia.
Yeah, I know. You're post Yakov Smirnov generation. You don't know. Yeah. You don't even know what that is. I barely know what that is. I
mean, now, Anatoly, what part of the Russian holiday tradition brought to mind coming to Harmontown nearly naked?
I mean, it's like after you like do drugs, you have to be naked.
After drugs, you have to be naked.
So are you on like ecstasy right now, or mushrooms, or what's going on?
I might or might not be.
So that's
on ecstasy.
Yes,
really?
That sounds like a resounding duh.
So are you giving a lot of back rubs, grinding your teeth, and promising to call people more often? Or has ecstasy changed since I was 25?
It's like last time you took.
No, I think I took. What did I? Took some MDMA in. Where was I? I can't remember.
Yeah, because you took MDMA. Right?
I don't know. Yeah,
that makes perfect sense.
But it's been years since I did anything interesting.
So you're kind of lame now.
I'm kind of lame, yeah.
Are you afraid to do hallucinogenic drugs again, Dan?
Yeah.
What's the fear?
Sometime around your first mortgage payment, you take on sometime way before your first mortgage payment, I started having bad experiences on even too much marijuana. Like I have to be very careful even smoking pot, or I'll get my freak out threshold is very low. I'll start like panicking. I guess that's what they mean by paranoia. I never realized it until I realized. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of like paranoid about like, oh, why am I getting high? I'm too old to be getting high. And all this weird shit happens to me because I'm outside of God's, step. Like I'm out of rhythm and out of the moment and making money and being grown up and that's been going on since I was like.
Is your concern, Dan, at your age right now, that if you did hallucinogens, you might come to Harmontown wearing red short shorts?
I would love to think that
Anatoly,
I had it in me.
It bears mentioning, Anatoly, that I've always thought of you as kind of a shy fellow. Like, I mean, even though you sit in the front row and you are willing to get up on stage, you seem kind of reserved to yourself. This is a very different side of you.
I just don't like to talk, but I don't have a mic in my hand. Oh.
Look, I'll have what you're having, man. Who is your dealer? Jesus.
I mean, would it be strange if I will say that I'm like 100 drug free?
Oh, really?
What? 100 drug free?
Like I mean, the person, right? Like 100%, it's supposed to be 100%.
Percent.
Well, right. You're not 100% drug free.
So yeah, because I'm a server, but I kind of am.
I kind of am.
What do you mean you kind of are?
You can't be kind of 100%.
You're something to the gills. You're like clearly like. Oh.
Are you high on life? Are you high?
Is it like a super stupid expression, like being high on life? No?
Well,
sure, it's stupid.
I'm saying, I mean, like, maybe you're just really in a good mood, and that moves you to do that.
I was definitely in a pretty good mood.
You have almost identical shoulder and back hair patterns to me. However, I am, as Darth Vader said to Luke, it is too late for me.
Dan, take your shirt off. I think we owe it to the live audience.
Yeah, it's pretty uncomfortable. You notice that three people clap. Not that it's my fantasy that everyone, but even the freak show element of it, people are like, nah. I don't wanna see it. This is enough. All right. Well, Anatoly, I'll give you two choices. You can take a seat now and enjoy the rest of the show, or you can stay up here as naked Russian Santa Claus. Death Morose was his name.
I do want to know what does it mean.
Well, like, yes.
It means like Grandpa Frost.
Grandpa Frost.
Yeah.
All right. Does Grandpa Frost grant wishes? Does he help people achieve what they want in the new year?
Yeah, pretty much. He do everything like the same as Santa Claus, except he isn't fat.
Right.
Because he's not American.
Wow. The Cold War just got colder.
That was the last.
The Frost War.
Well, the shot heard round the kitchenette.
I mean, Santa Claus isn't technically American, so that joke doesn't make any sense.
Right. I mean, we kind of Americanized him.
Well, yeah. Also, he didn't.
I think we took ownership of that.
He didn't wear red. He wore green until Coca-Cola co-opted that.
Is that true, or is that an urban legend?
I believe that's true. He was Coca-Cola is the reason why he's been branded as a guy that wears red and white.
Makes sense to me. I don't know. I don't care. I think people are too sardonic about Christmas because the truth is that it's whatever you're celebrating at this time of year. What you're really celebrating is the solstice. You're really celebrating the fact that the days are about to get the shortest that they'll ever get before slowly starting to become longer again. And, you know, old cavemen and young cavemen, I think that they, you know, like they were conscious of how long the days were and how long the nights were. And I think that this time of year, as a global condition of mankind, like everyone all over the place at this time of year, if you have a winter, then you have this sort of solstice where you it's sort of ingrained in us culturally to celebrate the death of the year and ask ourselves what that means, and then a new cycle is beginning and stuff. And it doesn't really matter that, like, I mean, you know, you got your people who stamp their little feet about how Christianity co-opted this time of year. You got your people that stamp their feet about the war on Christmas and trying to politically correctify everything. And I think those people just like choosing this time of year to be unhappy. And I think that you get to spend this time of year doing whatever you want. It's a little fantasy time.
Dan, do you love Christmas?
I do. I really like it. It's something that you mark. It's a time plotting my bravery.
It's a bold stance this time of year. It's a very bold stance.
It's probably not fashionable, and I don't like, the only thing that I like about it is just the fact that it happens once a year. That's it. It doesn't really. I like.
Yeah, but Valentine's Day happens once a year, and you don't give a fuck about that, probably.
Yeah, you're right. It's got little it's got little trademarks to it. It's like the Christmas lights go up at the bar. I think that's the thing that I really like is dive bars that put up Christmas
here,
lights.
If you're not from here, or if you are, and if you haven't been, go to the Roost in Atwater Village, and it's a little dumpy dive bar like the Drawing Room, but around Christmas time. They put up really good Christmas lights, and they make eggnog that will wipe you out. It's got three kinds of booze in it. And just go to the Roost tonight or soon before New Year's, and that's a good Christmas thing. They have a very good jukebox as well.
All right, Russian Santa Claus, we're going to give you an elf now. We're going to provide you with a Russian elf.
Okay, but Russian Santa Claus doesn't have elves. I mean, but I can have one. Okay.
Yeah. As in the spirit of perestroika, please. Yeah. Let's meet each other halfway.
Yes, this is a Christmas miracle that's happening right now, that we have a semi-naked Russian Santa Claus. Or Death Morose up here in the...
All right, let's bring out Duncan Trussell, our friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
This is Anatoly. There's a mic under you. So it's a
beard fest.
Beard fest.
Beard.
Okay.
How was it funny?
I love it.
I just say beards.
So thank you for coming, Duncan. My car was parked outside your house because I got drunk a couple nights ago, and you were in your house, so I brought you here tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. You
ripped me away from an Xbox One that I just bought.
Yeah. That's friendship.
That's friendship.
Don't boo him for coming to the show.
Yeah. The fuck? Is it bad to buy an Xbox One?
No.
Are they good?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's great. You'll love it.
But aren't you scared you're getting monitored the whole time by the Kinect controller?
Even unplugged. Yeah.
But how is bad? How is it bad?
I don't want to have to unplug a camera that's watching me all the time.
Don't you like to be looked at?
I don't. No.
I don't know. What did Anatoly say? I don't know. I don't know what he says.
He said, "Don't you like to be looked at?"
Oh, he's Russian. Yeah. It's comforting for them. Like, it makes them feel like they're alive to be monitored.
Duncan, do you have any special Christmas memories?
Christmas memories.
For better or for worse?
Oh, man.
Can you think about one while I complain about something?
Yes.
Okay. It's more of a rhetorical question than a complaint. If you're a TV critic, and I think all TV critics are great, wonderful, misunderstood people who should all be appreciated more.
Yes.
As long as they're writing network television reviews of network sitcoms, those people are great. But I have a question for the TV critics who do reviews of SNL episodes. Which I didn't even realize where they review each sketch and talk about whether or not it was funny.
Yeah.
Am I supposed to read that before I watch the comedy sketch or after? And in either case, dumb. Like, what kind of life are we supposed to be living? Like, that comedy sketch, Mr. Farts, huh? That's funny. He farted. Huh. I wonder what Joe Johnson had to say. Huh, he didn't think the farts were funny. I don't know, it's a little insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
And here's the even weirder thing. I wonder what Joe Johnson recommends. Huh, looks like they did a fart sketch on SNL. I think I'll read about it. Seems like the farts came fast and plenty, and overall it was no cone heads, but a good time was had. I'm going to give that sketch a look-see. Huh. Joe Johnson was right again. I consumed a sketch using the navigation system of a professional sketch reviewer.
How did it take
3 minutes to watch the fucking sketch, and somebody's got a 5-paragraph theme about it.
How did you come across this SNL reviewer?
I don't know. I saw a thing. I clicked a link, and I was like, what? Is that really a thing?
But you know what I feel about that? The SNL reviewer, I feel the exact same way that I feel about the guy who has to watch people playing Xbox at the NSA. It's like you're getting... It's like instant karma. You're getting what you deserve. You have to watch SNL sketches professionally. You have to watch, like, mildly overweight guys laying on their couch... vanishing into oblivion.
And then have a report on somebody's desk at 10 a.m. Like,
yeah.
Looks like people are still... Steve Mitchell picked his nose and ate it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happened last night.
Wait. I'm not hip to this. So they watch you play Xbox in the event that what? That you're good at... doing like the monkey bars like a
it's just biometrics. You're being monitored now. They have cameras on these things that are really cool. I went to Comic-Con and they showed Justin and I the Xbox One when we did an Xbox interview for their little channel, and they took us behind a curtain and fired one of these things up, and it was looking at my skeleton. I mean, not my skeleton, but it put a skeleton over my body. Because it could recognize my body and know where each of my knuckles were, and also Justin standing next to me, and we were like dancing around, and it knew, I was laughing the whole time because it was amazing, and then I started noticing that when I smiled, it said that I was happy next to my head.
Yeah.
And so the Nielsen evolution of this system is kind of obvious.
So awesome.
You now no longer need people to crank a dial in order to test a TV show. Ostensibly, some of our entertainment will be in the hands of people who are so weird that they actually smile when they enjoy themselves in the privacy of their living room while watching a National Geographic show. And, but to the extent that doesn't happen, everything on National Geographic will get canceled.
But you can stream, you know, like there's something called Twitch where you can stream playing a game. Like you can stream playing a game, and also I guess it films you playing too. So like there's already been bad accidents where someone left that on and it filmed him, and his wife was passed out, and it like filmed him rubbing her pussy while she was.
He did that on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, I see.
It was on purpose?
Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought he didn't know he's being monitored.
No, he did.
I mean, rubbing pussy part or.
Russian Santa Claus, what are you doing here?
Were you
watching
someone,
us?
Did someone mention the Russian Santa Claus equivalent of a plate of milk and cookies? I believe in Russia they leave out a, yeah.
Up on the rooftop rubbing puss. So a guy rubbed his wife's pussy on camera to make it like as though he was doing something bad?
He wanted people to watch him doing it.
Well, there's lots of, you remember Chat Roulette? I mean, that's like Chat Roulette very quickly became everyone's got their dick out because there's like,
yeah.
That's like those people are the opposite of me. Like the idea that you want to, that like the people who want to, nothing against them. I'm whatever floats your boat. Well, I mean, unless you're victimizing people, but which these people sometimes often do because they need to be like seen jerking off and all this stuff. That's like so the opposite of me. Like I'm so, sex is too intimate for me. I just really, boy, I wish I could just hide from my partner.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I do. Doug Stanhope has a really funny joke about how, like, you know, when you watch porn, if for those of you who watch porn, like, there's the porn where the camera guy will start talking and it always sucks because he's like, oh, yeah, you're so hot. And it's like, you just don't want to hear the sleazy guy talking. You just want there to be this kind of sacred silence when this thing is happening.
But you were talking about Instagram now has become this thing you're starting to go down.
Well, Instagram is like Instagram is a kind of like, you can chat on Instagram now.
They
like,
just added that.
They
right?
opened the floodgates. Yeah. It's really, it's a danger. This is Dustin's fault. For showing me this. I was fine. And then he like tied my mating impulses in with Instagram and I can't stop staring at the fucking rectangle.
So take me through how that works. Like you're on Instagram and do you see a girl's picture? She took a selfie, as you kids call it. And you like the way she looks and now you can send her a message, which you couldn't do before, right?
Yeah. So what happens is very attractive girls, they have this instant way to milk dopamine out of their brains, which is they just take a picture of themselves and put it on Instagram, and then thousands of people like the picture, and that keeps that makes them feel like they are connected to the universe and that they're alive or something.
Wait, but that was how Instagram always has been. You post a photo, people like it. What's the new thing with the chat?
Now you can contact people, right?
Yeah, now you can send people, like, you can say hello to people and stuff, and then they can write you back, and then that pulls you into like a darker vortex of communication.
And you can send a private photo, obviously. You can, yeah.
Since Dustin taught me this thing about Instagram, I have felt like I was going to be murdered four times. Like, I felt like, honestly, in danger and catfished.
Wait, Duncan, you said it's combining Instagram with your mating impulses. What are your mating impulses?
Well, no, it's a mating ritual. You know, like, people go to a bar and they want to meet people. Like, everyone's trying to mate. People are generally trying to reproduce or they're in a monogamous relationship, but people are generally driven by their sex drives, and it used to be you would go into the world to try to do that, and now this has been digitized, and so there's this whole new thing forming, which is like, you know, like the way it works is like, what was your name?
It's Anatoly.
What's that?
Anatoly.
Like, if I wanted to sleep with you, I
okay, is it?
What?
He said thank you.
I would look at if you were. That's awesome.
I thought he said I do.
Oh. He said. Did you say I do? Or did
I
you
said I'm okay with it.
Oh, I love him.
Oh, it's God. The most it's wonderful time of the year.
But in Russian.
But you know, it's a series of likes. So you like someone's picture, and then they like your picture, and then you like their picture. And now you're doing the thing where you—that's the digital version of looking at someone and looking away, and then you catch them looking at you. Uh-huh.
Well, now they got the Cupids and the what's the all the dating stuff, and there's Christian Mingle.
Swiper.
Tinder.
Well, I was doing a comedy show in the Midwest, and but since then I've seen this commercial here in Los Angeles, It's a like farmer date. Like it's a what's it called?
Farmer date.
What?
State farmer.
State farmer.
Stink farmer.
No, it's not state farmer. Stink.
Stink farmer.
It's not stink farmer. It's a farmer's dating thing. With a site. What's the? Does anyone know the name of it? Actually. Huh? Date a farmer. And it goes like, yeah, find a farmer. And yeah, you're a farmer. You want to date a farmer? Find farmers. And at the end, it goes, date a farmer. City folk just don't get it.
Wait.
It's Christy Mingle, but for people that grow soybeans. and that aren't Christian, apparently. That they have to go into the thing. The greatest tag to a commercial of all time.
Really,
city folk just don't get it.
Well, the internet really is ubiquitous now. If there's pockets of it for non-city folk, that's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's...
Hey, welcome to hillbilly.gov. We don't cotton the technology around this domain.
Welcome to Homeless Hookup.
Great idea.
Employed people just don't get it.
We really did it.
We also don't know how to monetize this.
I don't think the money's coming in from the homeless people. There's people. There might be people who want to date a farmer or a homeless person. Like, do you have to be another farmer, or can you be like a sexy lady that likes overalls?
I would say that I'm pretty sure there's a certain percentage of traffic on Christian Mingle or J-Date that aren't Christian or Jewish. I would say there's lots of people that are phoning in and saying, like, yeah, I love the Lord as much as the next guy. And,
I heard that Christian Mingle has the highest assault rate for a dating site.
Is that true?
I don't know.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's the kind of thing that would immediately have traction. Like, you just created that like idea. That's going to be contagious.
Well, it makes sense. Doesn't it? Because, like, if you're a fundamentalist Christian, you believe in a death god. You believe in a... You do. Like, it's a god that's eventually going to destroy the planet, sacrificed his child, and you worship that being. You pray to that being. So it does make sense that you would... It's a sacrifice god. So some percentage of the people who go on Christian Mingle probably still believe the old ways and think that...
Where you sacrifice your date?
Yeah. Because God in the Old Testament was always telling people, like, you must kill your son today.
Right.
Yeah, so how does, like, I'm sure people on Christian Mingle, the same thing happens where the transmission comes down. Like, if you believe in me, you will decapitate.
There's probably some casual Christians, I think, that use the internet to date. Like, they don't have to be a fundamentalist. They don't have snakes wrapped around their necks.
I don't think most Christians are into decapitation.
I don't know, man.
It's about time we debunk that stereotype. It is an awesome, terrifying God, the Old Testament God, though. I just got in a weird conversation about that with Aaron, because I was we were talking about my Hebrew name, Daniel, and how I like that story in the Bible, and the Old Testament God, and I was kind of talking about how, oh, I like that God. And she was kind of, she's a pastor's daughter, so she kind of like, I don't know, she didn't have an objective, I was somehow offending her on accident. I didn't mean to. I was just being Joseph Campbell-y about it. I was like,
what offense did she take?
I don't know. We were probably both drunk, and
surely not.
I think that she took it to mean somehow that I preferred it to the New Testament God. I don't know. Or that
same
that,
God, like, isn't it?
Well, I mean, meaning that
he had a new attitude.
I think that part of the appeal of modern Christianity is that some of the barbarism and misogyny and things that the Old Testament religion is steeped in have been somehow can be somehow opted out of by way of the Terminator 2 like movie. You know, you go like, okay, well, you've heard it this way, but now it's like this, which is a huge value add to the sequel.
I love the New Testament. I like reading it. I sometimes it's a good thing to read when you're meditating or something. You'll find a little verse, but you really do have to wade through. Like, you have to have a big filter to read any part of the New Testament, because
it's pretty dense.
It's not just that it's dense. It's just always ends in like, I was just reading this verse in it, which is like Christ is sending the disciples out into the world to to spread the message. And he says to them, you know, when go into a town, and if they accept you, you know, give them your blessing. And if they don't accept you, at the gates of the town, shake the dust from your feet and say to them, your town is fucked. You're so cursed.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
you
that.
You know,
one,
like
yeah.
It's a crater. Your town is going to be a crater now. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like,
go around and check up on them. And then if as you're leaving, you don't like it, give them the. And,
yeah. It, which yeah. means like you're going to get blown up. And like I was listening to, I like listening to Christian radio. It's really fun to listen to Christian radio, and highly recommend listening to Christian music and pretending that you're Jesus and that the songs.
What the fuck?
What?
How did those wires get crushed?
No,
I was very clear about this.
Because you will realize how creeped out Jesus would be by yeah. Christians if you listen to the way they sing to him. Because
oh,
it's
I see,
just
I see.
Like
I was
stalker
confused.
Music.
Yeah. I said love each other and they killed me. Why? You, why what is this song about?
Yeah, well, there's. I mean, this is the problem that I have. That I sometimes run into because I'm a respected person among people who are very intelligent. They like their science fiction. This is their personalities that don't typically come with rosary beads attached to them. Modern Christianity is modern American Christianity? What is that? That's not connected at all to the value of this mythology, which is that there was this guy who was kind of awesome. He's a heroic figure. Yeah. He really, it's like we love Martin Luther King Jr. Like Jesus was like kind of did a lot of that kind of shit. Like
well,
really,
yeah, but...
like sacrificed himself because he believed in people being nice to each other. And as far as the myth goes, it's like.
Beautiful.
Very empowering. The idea of that you can be this is Christmas time, Christmas, like the Christ word means half man, half God, right? Like this is the idea that of Christ is supposed to be the idea. I thought that we can all do this. We can all we all have it within us to wield the power of these old Babylonian, Sumerian, kind of Mesopotamian like boogeymen, like who make the thunder crack and who make the cancer bloom and who make the cows die overnight, like all that cosmic chaos that we used to just chalk up to fuck my luck or some weird superstition. We can start to embody that power, take control of it, and because as we're doing that, we have a responsibility to each other to value human life and stuff. So what does that have to do with Billy Graham? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. That's why the Gnostics say that, or I've read that the Gnostics say that, and Graham Hancock, who's this really amazing, like, far out historian, who's like, believes that, like, humans have been here much longer, and he was telling me that, the Gnostics believe that. So Satan, the first thing Satan is going to do is convince everyone that he is God or that he is Jesus. That's the move. You convince people that you're the Lord of love, and that's the person that George Bush worshipped. It's actually Satan. Modern Christianity is actually Satanism because only Satan would tell a president, you should drop bombs on Iraq. No Lord of love would say that. Like Jesus is all love. Jesus represents love, like love at all costs, love no matter what, love everyone and forget about yourself. You lose yourself completely in love. And that's what I think Christianity is. But somehow it gets diverted. And they say this is because of that Roman emperor who recognized that Christianity was spreading and wanted to make it a state religion. And that's why they had that gathering of people. They're like, okay, this love thing's great, but we still need to decapitate and murder people and set things on fire. So
I've just set up all these like weird rules, like a country club, like about the Trinity and what pants you can wear. And
yeah,
it's all ridiculous. I mean, but and by the way, so is any like organized sect of Taoism, Buddhism. Like if you let the bread out long enough, like all you got, you come back 10 minutes later, and the biggest dickhead in the room is in charge. Like
yes.
the guy who says like let's all do it this way and let's all do it that way.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Like religion is supposed to be a personal tie between an individual
yes.
and the unknown. The very concept of organized religion is incredibly problematic. Now I'm not saying let's do away with organizing spiritual conversations, organizing religion at all. But what I am saying is that that's not religion. Well, the things that you're talking to other people about are not your relationship with the unknown. Jesus said that, by the way. I mean, he said a lot of shit, but he talked about how basically prayers that you do in front of other people they're fine and good, but they're not, they don't really count.
Yeah, you know? He said, don't pray on the street corners like the whoever they are do. Yeah, I can't remember.
You should be in a closet somewhere, yeah. like meditating about this, like really atoning with this thing that can fuck you up.
You know that book, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross by John Marcus Allegro? Have you ever heard of that?
Like it. I have a quote on the dust jacket. God, devil in the baked beans is whatever you just said. That's
the devil in the baked beans was his second book.
I'm largely responsible for that book's tremendous sales.
His theory is that Christianity what started as a mushroom cult, and he has all these amazing pictures of
what do you mean by mushroom cult?
A mushroom cult where that Jesus was a mushroom, and that the whole thing was like talking about the information they were getting was coming from eating mushrooms, like the God sacrifice was imbibing mushrooms and the communion was actually mushrooms, which is why I went, like, the instruction for communion is before you take communion, you should forgive your enemies. You have to make sure that you've forgiven everyone, because it's, if you're going to go on a mushroom trip and you go there in a bad headspace, it'll be terrible. So the whole thing is like a veiled mushroom cult. And there's awesome pictures of, like, in these early Christian churches of Adam and Eve, and they're standing underneath clearly a mushroom, like they're standing next to, there's all these pictures of mushrooms. And it's like, this is a, what's that?
It's the tree of knowledge.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was actually a mushroom. And that's Terence McKenna's idea, which is like the stoned ape theory, that like proto-hominids took mushrooms, and that's what caused this massive expansion of the neocortex way back when, is because mushrooms grow on the shit of bovine animals, which is what early proto-hominids would have been hunting. And since we're omnivores, we would have been eating the mushrooms.
I could believe that, because there's a shared experience on mushrooms. Like, psilocybin has a sort of set of almost inarticulable, but by now we've figured out that it's shared. The type of consciousness shift that you have on mushrooms, it always has. I mean, sometimes you have a bad trip, sometimes you think your friend is a Dracula.
Yeah.
Sometimes you come to Harmontown wearing underwear and a Santa hat.
Yeah. Oh, that's the Russian equivalent of ho-ho.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Because it really is like this weird, like, people talk about, you know, like straight-laced people who would never, like, who associate drugs with criminality, and but who for one reason or another ended up taking this psilocybin thing. They report the same experience as a groovy dude. They have the same sort of weird momentary realization about perspective.
Yeah.
And an uplifting one, not one that makes you feel like a meaningless speck in an infinite universe, but one that makes you feel like you're connected to all things.
Yeah, and imagine doing that instead of doing it at a party or in your apartment. Imagine being in some early ancient Christian church with incense burning and people saying these weird chants, and you're eating the mushrooms with the intention of connecting with the Godhead. That would be a very intense trip. But, you know, it would, and it'd be amazing, which is why sometimes I think of modern Christianity as people it's like people who have stacked wood. And they're putting their hands in front of the wood and pretending there's a fire there, but they haven't lit the wood on fire. And the psychedelic is what ignites the fire. And that's what really creates the true feeling of the presence of God. By the way, you know the whole thing about Christmas, of course, and Santa Claus is actually a representation of the Amanita muscaria mushroom. Have you ever heard that?
No.
Yeah, man, totally. Like
everybody right now, reach under your seats, you'll find a mushroom.
Yeah, no,
in
totally.
45 minutes, this shit's gonna get wow.
Look, there's a lot of stuff on the internet about it. Google search it, but the color of the Amanita muscaria mushroom is red and white, which is exactly the color that Santa Claus wears. And
but that was a later day thing. That he was originally not red and white. That was a very later day 50s, 40s Coca-Cola thing. Like that he was green and white up until very recently.
Well, sometimes the Amanita muscaria is green and white.
Yeah, all right.
Whatever fits into my mushroom story, asshole.
You know, one thing that that academics...
But I love the angle, though. That, like, what if we just did prove that Santa and Jesus was just all about mushrooms? That'd be great.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a leap. I mean, I really don't. It's
complimentary.
Also, they say that the Druids would hang these mushrooms to dry on pine trees, and that's the whole like hanging shit on trees actually comes from drying these mushrooms out to do this like a psychedelic ritual. And I'll shut up about mushrooms, but there's one more point I want to make, which is that the Druids would drink each other's piss, because if you eat mushrooms, the psilocybin still stays in the urine, and so
they just couldn't get enough.
Yeah. Or they drink their own piss to, like, start tripping again, which you can do if
and they used to actually leave out a plate and glass of piss.
Right.
Yes!
By a chimney.
Do you know this?
Yes, I read the book.
You know, one thing that I have, when I went through like a heavy duty kind of like, I think I'm getting more into Jesus mythology because of Campbell and stuff like that. So I watched Jesus Christ Superstar again and was like, this is really cool. I watched some documentaries and stuff. And
Campbell so compelled you by the myth of Jesus Christ that you went right out and rented Jesus Christ Superstar.
I did. Yeah. And that's a catchy one, man. I took Erin to see that in New York. She was blown away. She had only ever seen Godspell, man. Jesus Christ,
that
Superstar
will convert you.
Eats Godspells like for breakfast.
Yeah.
All right. So one more thing, and then we'll get off of Jesus, because I just got off of him an hour ago. You know what I'm saying?
Dustin, can we edit in lightning and thunder? Or sleigh bells.
I thought one of the more... But there's biblical historians, you know, that kind of line between academics and, you know, the people that are sort of researching the actual historical person, Jesus. There's some of them believe that the reason for sort of his personality, his character, his message that he brought was that as a youngster growing up, he was an apprentice to his dad, who probably would have been a stonemason, not a carpenter. And I don't know, did he grow up in Jerusalem, or wherever he was like spending his younger years?
Nazareth.
when you kind of like don't, I think, wasn't he was
Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, thank you, sir. but is he Jesus who hung out in Nazareth till he was 38, or is he Jesus who was born in Nazareth and or like
he was born in Long Beach.
Yeah, and then he lived in that. Anyways, when he was apprenticing for his dad, he would have been in this tremendous port city, being a stonemason, and would have been exposed if he was working in imports and exports as a stonemason might in that city, been exposed to a lot of Eastern philosophy coming in off of those same docks. I don't know, talking out of my butt, but I always thought that was interesting. Ask some academic.
But
Eastern philosophy from the west side of Africa. I'm
it's the least wonderful time of the year.
Adam Goldberg storms the stage.
I don't know.
I got my wish from Russian Santa. How's it going? You're really warm. You're really warm. I'm not going to touch you anymore. You're really warm. But.
All right. What topic do you have ownership over this evening? What is it that we said that made you entitled to?
Look, religion, the idea that the majority of religion, how much of religion did you attribute to mushrooms? At least all of it, or just the big one that the other ones...
I didn't attribute to... I was citing a book that...
You know, this isn't a TED Talk or a Senate hearing. Like, nothing's going to happen if you don't do anything.
You're
if you,
right.
If you just listen, the worst case scenario is a good show. That's it. If you just listen, no, there's no nothing. No, nobody's gonna kick in your door tomorrow night and like go. You didn't say anything when Duncan Trussell said mushrooms were religion. Now
first
you gotta
they
come.
They came
to
for Duncan Trussell and I did nothing, and then they came for the stonemasons and I did nothing, and then they kicked in my door.
Don't bring the Holocaust into this.
I was gonna bring in the expulsion that happened 400 years ago in Prague, but whatevs. So. Religion
also,
is a really important personal force. I believe that a lot of what our spiritual journeys do take place internally, but the idea that the representation of religion is something that people go together to ignore God and just to worship a fire that isn't there just seems problematic as someone who's had a lot of his religious... I played the fuck out of Linus when I was in Charlie Brown. I did not puke on my director when I was in Charlie Brown. Was that...
come all ye faith.
I was going to end my speech by singing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. But I'm going to... All right. As someone who's had a lot of wonderful experiences being around people around the Christmas tree, spending... Yes. Holidays, lighting the menorah, doing things like that. Yes. When you see religion as something that doesn't connect you one way to God, but you to God, to everyone else that you're willing to spend time with, religion can be a wonderful social leveler. It can be a reason to get out of your house. It can be a reason to visit the invalid. And charity, and especially Christian charity, is not something that is easy. It is something that we choose to do because of what we believe to help people out who are less fortunate, who are more Goldbergian than Harmonian, let's say, in our society. I'm not...
Hallelujah!
You're booing me and you prove my point, but... the losers, the people who trip over the words, the people who have... The only tie that we have to them in our society is that they have their names written in the same type of book in the beginning of pages where you keep the family history, the same scroll, the same commandments.
Get out of the stage!
Crucify him!
He's here to save Christmas, you guys. Adam Goldberg came on stage.
And it's the reason that we go into the
Christmas.
Cold and the snow, and we'd rather be playing Xbox and we sing, "We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year." Thank you,
Adam Goldberg. Adam Goldberg, everybody.
What's your mind, reindeer?
What? He wants to know where his reindeer are. Yeah. Something about his reindeer.
Guys, I mean, if is my Duncan, Anatoly, can we talk a little bit about this? Because I have some opinions about this song. in my estimation, the shittiest Christmas song ever perpetrated on mankind.
Yeah, this is a bad one.
I've even heard that Paul McCartney is ashamed of himself for this. Not so ashamed that he's had it stricken from the record, but...
I'm proud of you, because every year Jeff and I have a tradition. We try to make it as far as we can without hearing this song.
Well, also, I don't like...
But I heard it in my fucking Uber on the way over here.
Wait, Duncan, what is this song? Before we get to it, there's another song, Jingle Bell Rock. The line, "Giddy up, jingle horse," makes me want to take my own life. Don't fucking say "giddy up, jingle horse." Jingle horse isn't a fucking thing. It's not an icon. That is not an iconic Christmas thing. Jingle horse. Go fuck everybody that ever sang it, that wrote it.
But
more importantly, can we all just go after this Harmontown, find Paul McCartney wherever he is, and sing this on his doorstep for 72 hours, and make him because I walked into a shop.
And when he asks us to go away, we say, "Why? It was good enough for us."
I was, yeah,
wasn't it?
When you wrote
what's
that,
this song?
When you wrote that on a cocktail napkin on the way to the studio, the first Christmas Carol I heard, because it was August. You know, I went to see a movie, and they started the Christmas Carols early, of course. And the first one I heard, I walked in, and Duncan, treat yourself to these rich, majestic, mythic.
It's like literally, like in the lyrics, like says "fuck it," like almost, almost literally says everything
like,
but "fuck it."
Fuck it, you know, fuck it. Who gives a shit?
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight.
And that's enough.
Fuck it.
Simply having...
Oh, I know this
simply, fuck it. It's cold out. There's lights. I don't know. Yeah,
simply...
Go fuck yourself.
Simply ignoring the rules of show, don't tell.
Simply shoehorning into the Christmas business.
The tree is green. The moon is round.
Christ was born.
Maybe it's about mushrooms. Simply... Yeah, how about make it a little more complex? I mean,
my boots are on.
Yeah.
Snow is white.
I met a guy. He was had a mustache.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
No.
The party's on.
Okay.
Party's on.
The feeling's here.
Which feeling?
Which one?
That only comes.
Okay.
Time of year.
Okay, now.
You know what this is?
Yeah. Because there is a dark moment in the song where it goes, Bieber.
The whole thing, listen to the instrumentation. It was just like, it was composed by a kid shopping at Sears, pressing demo buttons.
No, you know, it's...
I'm surprised Greensleeves isn't in there somewhere on accident.
It sounds like what they blast to people in Guantanamo Bay.
No, yeah, this is how we got Noriega with this fucking song.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas.
It's an abomination.
The choir of children sing their song.
Minor key for no reason. Here's the thing.
Wait, listen.
If you go to a minor key, he fucking wrote Yesterday and Blackbird and shit. He's Paul McCartney. He's a songwriter. He wrote some goodies. He also wrote fucking Maxwell Silver Hammer, which can go fuck itself. But that's it. He was in a band with fucking John Lennon and George Harrison. He could have fucking stepped it up a couple times.
Somebody needs to play that song backwards. Has anyone done that?
You get Tomorrow Never Knows. It's fucking amazing.
Oh, wow. That's
awesome. Actually, somebody that I know said that they were on a set with Ringo Starr and they were like, the crew was like, yeah, we got Ringo Starr. My favorite Beatles, you know, George Harrison. My favorite Beatles, John Lennon. And then someone's like, yeah, you know, Paul McCartney, like that fucking guy. Like he wrote, you know, he wrote a lot of bullshit songs. I mean, I guess he wrote a couple good ones, but like mostly like fucking like he wrote this one and that one. And Ringo, you know, who had every reason to not like Paul, walked up and goes, oh, so you're taking the shit out of our Paulie. He goes, he wrote a couple good ones too. Like whatever shit you talk about Paul McCartney, you have to. He did fucking write a lot of fucking goodies. Now, in high relief to the fucking beautiful artwork that he made, this happens.
Ding dong, ding dong. That's what the kids are singing.
So if you're going to go to a minor key, it has to go to a dark place, mythologically. Right. You have to say, but it wasn't as we
but perceived. Can you back it up? Because I want everyone to hear the entire what the choir of children sing. Because there's three parts to it.
Simply. There's nothing simple about this.
Children sing their song.
All right, here's their song.
Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong,
the kids are as fucked up as McCartney. Like, I don't know. He throws it to them, and they're like, fuck you back!
Yes.
We're all riffing, right,
yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Out by five?
Fuck it.
The choir of kids. Children, hey, kids, take it.
Take like, it.
Fuck you, take it back. It.
Jingle, jangle, fuck yourself.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Well, we'll take your word for it.
The word is out.
The party is down. I don't know.
So lift your glass. Don't look down.
What was that?
Okay. I've always given up on the song long before that happened.
Well, we're usually deep in conversation by this time.
What is that? What did he say? What is that?
I think he said he wants to lift a glass and he doesn't know how.
Down.
Wait, what is he?
Don't look. Are we Santa? Like, no, yeah. So lift your glass. Yeah, it's not worth it. Fucking. Now we're down the rabbit hole. Now I want my mushrooms. Jesus Christ.
What if at this point in the song, it was just plans for D-Day or something? Yeah. Yes. No one had ever heard it.
Yes. My social security number is...
The cure for cancer. Mixed two-part song.
Dancing. Hey, take it, kids.
They practiced all year long.
Yeah.
Now, you...
The party's on.
Oh, wait.
Spirits up.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
We're here tonight.
And that's enough.
That's it.
Like I can say, like,
it's all that's required. Yeah.
Throw some fucking
the
mistletoe
minimum
in there.
For Christmas.
Yeah. Simply fulfilling an the album, minimum. Record label, contractual agreement. Fuck him. Now, Dan, and it was maybe two Christmases ago, or was it last year? Was it last Christmas?
Three, because it was the first time I kissed Aaron.
Oh.
I remember the night you're talking about because I know the next song you want to play.
Because I love, I just turned 40. I grew up on the Peanuts Christmas specials. And brilliantly, they chose Vince Guaraldi Trio to do all that music. And you don't have to like jazz to love Vince Guaraldi Trio. And if you don't like jazz, listen to Vince Guaraldi Trio and at least dig him. And the boys and the music in the Peanut specials is really melancholy. Like it's really sad. It's kind of blow your brains out, darkness to it. But it's also for me, the Christmas, I have really fond Christmas memories. I grew up in a nice small family and everybody got along more or less. And Christmas was always fun, but the music is sad.
Yeah, Charles Schulz had to fight for the darkness in the Peanuts specials that we
And what a good fight, because the whole point of it is it is solstice. It's that like everything's dying.
It's dark. It's quiet.
And you put up an evergreen tree to convince yourself that the sun will come out tomorrow.
There's an automatic bubblegum flavor to Christmas that I think it's like fun to overcome and counter with the natural like kind of stillness and darkness.
Because I love I'll Be Home for Christmas because I believe and I'm sure that somebody will prove me wrong on this one, but as far as I know, I'll Be Home for Christmas came out during World War II, and whether it came out before that, that was a big hit for the troops because the idea that I'll be home if only in my dreams. And families heard that song, and it's really dark. And it's the idea that, like, please have snow, mistletoe, and they bury the lead at the end. Like, I won't be home for Christmas. I might be in Italy. I might be in the Ardennes.
I might be canning the Kaiser.
Well, that's World War One.
Okay. I might be Rosie Riveting.
But and what's the one you like, Dan? You have your favorite.
I like that one, which is the one that says, "Through the years, we all will be together if the fates allow." So that's such
have yourself a merry little Christmas.
It's a similar thought, but it doesn't tie you to military service. We are all in the military because we're all at war with an uncompromising, fucking, sometimes unpredictable, jealous, crazy god that like creates ice ages. And freezes your crops and plays roller coaster with the infant mortality rate and has viruses and grasshoppers eat your face. This time of atonement with that impersonal cosmic force, you know, we're all in that military service going like, Christmas might, it's the highest suicide rate of the year. We all know that.
Is that true or was that just
or is
from
that an urban myth?
That's from Gremlins.
I mean, that
it is. That's from Gremlins.
Yourself after midnight. Gremlins.
Adam.
God damn it, Adam.
Adam. Go to bed.
What's your take on Adam Duncan? Like,
I gotta say, man, I thought it was very sweet what he did when he came up here.
But what was he doing? I don't even know what he was doing. I don't know if he was like mad about religion or mad about.
He came up to defend the God in Christmas.
He actually came.
Well, what's he doing that for? What am I doing? What was it? What?
He said we're in a military against God and grasshoppers will eat our face.
So he's God kills people, man. What? He's like, you don't just hang out with him in a hammock. God isn't Superman. He doesn't save us from train crashes.
Well, that's
he causes them too.
That's why you need. That's why in Hinduism you need a Shiva to make sense of the whole thing. Like in Christianity, things get really weird because you have this apparently all.
I don't want to talk about. I want to talk about Adam Goldberg and what a dick he is. Because he only just wanted to come on stage.
Okay.
And in order to come on stage, he needed a point. And his point needed to be contrary to something else. But it wasn't. Like, it doesn't... Because on any other given day, Adam would be coming up here reminding us that we should be skeptical of the Christian God because people got burnt at the stake and got leeches put on them.
You know that Adam's heart is three sizes too small.
He just... I mean, like at least don't lose the moment. Like if the stage is... a big pink box with a red ribbon on it, fucking open it up and thank us for it. Like let us get some pictures of you in your Easter bunny outfit.
I agree with you. I think that was Adam's motivation. I think so, Adam. But also, I think you did come up with the idea that you were trying to defend, strangely, Christmas. But also, I mean, nobody up here was really trying to defame Christmas, I don't think. But
I'm trying to bring that shit back.
Dan, you want to bring it back?
I'm saving Christmas up here.
Can we bring it back with a little song? We love the Vince Guaraldi Trio. So you all know this. I'll play the vocal version first so we all know.
This is the hardest we've ever laughed in our lives.
So let's just dig the original version first.
Okay.
So we can hear the kids from Peanuts sing it. Fuck you, Paul McCartney. This is a fucking good song. Really, really happy, beautiful lyric set against the most minor, dark, beautiful, melancholic music of all time. So, what was the setup? We were just sitting around.
I was just drunk, getting drunk at Dino's. I was in a good mood because I kind of had a crush on this girl that was starting to hang around.
Right, and so I played the instrumental version. So let's see if we can pull this off. I think I started this, and then we did this for the next 30 minutes, and then we laughed for 3 hours. Dicks and balls and beer. Dicks and balls and beer. The fire is warm. A perfect storm. Dicks and balls and beer.
That's it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, I was like, because we were giggling because you were singing Dicks and Balls and Beer to the song. And then I was just kind of giggling and I was just drunk and it was late.
It was 3 p.m.
And then he said, compared to whenever we woke up. The fire's warm, the perfect storm. That's when I lost it. Dicks and balls and beer are the perfect storm for Christmas time. Like some tactician is looking at that on a piece of paper. And
Jesus
going,
Christ!
God,
get out of here!
There's going to be dicks, balls, and beer at that party.
Perfect storm.
It's fucking Christmas. It's such a weird thing for children to sing. The perfect storm. It's weirder than Dick's Balls and Beer for children to be talking about the perfect storm. You can't tell if the song's in favor of it or it's just a dire production. Some shit's gonna go down tonight. I just remember that was like one of the few, the second, third, fourth times I met Erin, and she came to the door.
The
door, and I was like,
and we were like
crying.
I'm streaked with tears right now, listeners, and we were in there, and we were absolutely apoplectic. We've been doing this for an hour. We kept doing it, and there was many verses to it, and God damn it. And then she came in, and we're like, well, it's a long story.
I went on a little walk with her that night, and I remember the tree that we stopped by outside Dino's place, and I kissed her for the first time.
Is that right?
But we didn't start making out or anything. It was still, I leaned in and I kissed her, and it was like, I don't think I've ever had this experience where I just, like, she just accepted the kiss, but nothing else happens. And it was just sort of like, Little House on the Prairie, kind of like, oh, the courtship continues. It was like weird, like, a kiss usually like evolves into something, but she was not ready, but was not rebuffing, and so it just we just continued to like we had a little barrel hoop that we ran with a stick. I made her a crown out of daisies or something. And I went to read the Bible to my blind grandpa, and then I fucked her deep, and she found
it.
All right, let's have a special Christmas meeting with the actual father of winter, the embodiment of the solstice, the Nordic traveling, cold immune, shorts in Times Square in January wearing Spencer Crittenden.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey, guys.
You love the cold.
Yeah. What's up? What was that Paul McCartney song? What was it?
Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. Take my word for it.
You could change one word of that song, and it'd be any holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a day of the week.
Yeah.
Or
Halloween,
Simply Having
Tuesday.
A Wonderful Turkey Sandwich.
Yeah. It's just...
Sun is up. The mood is right.
Yeah.
The mayo's white.
Not even.
Rhymes with white.
The mood can be right for a turkey sandwich. Yeah. Like, it's just anything.
Yeah.
Back massage.
A wonderful back massage.
Also, Dan, you like, in the Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, the idea that if, through the years, we all be together, if the fates allow. That's a good lyric.
Yeah. Like, there's, isn't it, is there more to that song? Where it's like kind of like... I changed one of the lyrics?
Like the original version.
Get up here. Get a mic. This is too good.
If you like.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Connery.
Thank you.
So the original version of that song, as it was written by whoever, Sammy Kahn or whoever wrote it out here, through the years we all will be together if the fates allow. Until then, we'll have to muddle through somehow.
Mm.
You know, melancholy.
Oh, and yeah. They changed it to hang a shining star upon the highest bough.
That's
to make
great.
Kind of a non sequitur.
A friendlier version. So, yeah.
Wow.
And the hang a shining star makes no sense.
No, it's a non sequitur.
I'd be curious to know, like, because I thought maybe Sammy Kahn or one of those great, like...
it's written here.
Yeah. But, like, what year it would be if that were a Depression era or something like that, because... Or probably later than that.
40s, 30s, 40s, yeah. So... But I don't know exactly when that change happened.
I do know that, I mean, it's but it might be the coolest thing in the world, but it's hard to imagine singing that original lyric in the way that traditionally you do, because that's the point where you really swell. Hang a shining star upon the banner. You like, go crazy. You go for it and bring it home.
Well, the Ella Fitzgerald version... She nails that line. Mm-hmm. She does it really well.
Because that's the return threshold
original,
of that
She does
song.
The original version?
I don't know if it's the original, but she does a version of it that's...
But she does the muddle through one, or the...
Yeah, she does the muddle through.
Yeah, because I've heard that. But
I think Sinatra does it as well.
Yeah, I think that's... I don't think I have it on here. I got a lot of the old stuff. Yeah, that's a goodie.
Yeah.
All right, what's your name, young man?
Dan.
Dan?
Dan, Christmas memory, which... can you lay one on us?
Or what about a Christmas wish?
Yeah.
Let's start granting some Christmas wishes.
Christmas memory. And
all right, fuck you. There goes your wish.
Well, there could be some wish fulfillment. Now, my family, our tradition, my oldest brother, he wanted for Christmas more than anything else, Nat King Cole's Christmas is for Children. And that was our family tradition. We would decorate the tree with that, just playing on a loop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a
28-minute
long tape.
Yeah.
But you know, we'd play it probably four or five times. So, do you have any Nat King Cole?
I have tons of Nat King Cole. I don't know if it's off that record, though. Let's see.
Oh, that would be your Christmas wish. You did to hear a little bit.
Well, today, you know.
That's good. I here can grant that.
Here in Argentown.
Now, do you want an upbeat or some of the sad, like really like Christmassy stuff? Like the he has the religious guy? Or it's for the one for
does,
kids.
Yeah, he does like
you know what? I got it. I do have it. Hang on. Everybody.
All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Take it, Dan.
My two front teeth. My two front teeth.
It's a Christmas super
gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, and I'm wish Merry Christmas. It seems so long since I could say Sister Susie sitting on a thistle. Gosh, oh gee, how happy I'd be if I could only whistle. All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth, my two front teeth. Gee, if I could only have my two front teeth, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Dan, everybody!
All right. Wow.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Without any effort, we're doing a Christmas show.
Yeah. I'm seeing. No, that's.
Yeah, like that. Gladys Knight and the Pimps are about to come out at some point.
That's what I love about this time of year. It's effortless. It's supported by an entire species history of this time of year being special. I don't have to lecture you guys about it. I certainly don't need to be attacked by Adam Goldberg about it. I was being the hero up here. He tried to act like he was slaying Darth Vader. I resent it. I resent him.
Are you trying to tee up a Christmas miracle right now?
Adam to come down from the... He got up and I hope he just went to the bathroom. I hope we don't hear a single Christmas gunshot. From the...
Christmas gunshot. That's my favorite Christmas song.
Christmas gunshot. Jingle bang.
Jingle bang. That's the New York Post headline.
Jingle bell clock.
I honestly felt my life was being threatened.
Wow.
I got physical. I had an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like when a skunk comes out of a bush.
I felt it in my third eye, like before I even saw it.
It was the motion combined with Rob Schraub going, no, no, no. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what Rob will sound like if someone shoots me. That's what I'm going to hear.
That's what it looks like. That is what it looks like to die.
Like. Yeah.
It's like a quick, shadowy rushing in, and that's it.
Sirhan.
You're gone, man. Yeah. Just a scuttling sound, a distant shriek, and oblivion.
I let BuzzFeed's 25 Reasons Fuck. Dan Harmon was interesting be the last you ever hear of
God
me.
God damn it. That was fast. That was fast. That was like new zombie speed. Like the new...
I was driving through an intersection with Schraub once. We were like on Highland and Melrose, I think. And this fucking SUV, I looked up... And there was an SUV coming full speed that did not say, I think we were going straight and the SUV was making a left turn. We had we were going straight. We had the right of way and this SUV just decided to continue its left turn. And so we were in the middle of a conversation about Gary Shandling or something, and then we were going to die.
Yep.
And because we were going 35, 45 miles an hour, and he, so was he, and somehow Schraub just went, just cranked the wheel all the way, and the end result was just somehow, I swear, like molecules of the paint on the in the respective cars must have rushed up against each other. Like, but nothing other than it happened. And it was just like that. It was just profound because that's what it feels like to die, except for the very end part.
Yeah.
Which is you dying. Like that's what you see when this life is taken away from you. Nothing. Just garbage. Just nothing. Just an Adam Goldberg darting out of the shadows.
Yeah. Goblin.
And your I won't have time to fix my posture. I won't. I'll have hair on my shoulders. I'll be sitting next to a guy in his underwear. Nothing will be ceremonious about it. And on top of that, it won't even be that cool and dramatic. Only Kennedys get to die that way. Like most of us, you know, you get a fucking cancer in your nut one day.
Yep.
It could have taken you. You could have gone out like that. Charles Schulz get cancer in his butt.
Yeah, but cancer, you get time to say goodbye to everybody. When you get a Goldberg, you don't get to say goodbye.
Adam rushed the stage. It reminded me of the scene in Platoon where the sapper comes in and just runs into the tent. Like, did he? There's a guy in the front like, Jesus Christ, boom! Like everything goes up like that. Like that's all you get.
Yeah,
that's all you get. Adam, please don't kill us. Oh, thank you. We have your word.
We got a year long renew. That's what that sounded like.
Yeah.
He's like, through the years, we'll all be together if the fates allow.
Fates allow.
The Goldberg
allows. Spencer, what's your take on Christmas? Are you a sentimental guy around the holidays?
I mean, I like the idea of it, but I'm more of a grump around the holidays. It's about unfulfilled expectations for me, so yeah.
But you get to do that. That's fun.
Well, I get to... Well, no, because people are like, well... Christmas has never been the same ever since my dad lost his leg. And it's like, yeah, my parents got me a Hello Kitty digital camera one time. I know how you feel.
What? Did they really?
Yeah. It was. It would have been better if it was a digital camera that was like worth half a crap. But if it's something you could get for like $15, like the novelty value isn't even worth the utility. You know, it's not even a joke.
Was that the beginning of the end of your dashed hopes around the holidays?
No, that was the lash on the dead horse. Like I was like, okay, fuck it, I'm gonna make my own happiness, which I should have carried on the rest of my life because I only do that for Christmas, is making my only happiness. Apparently,
how do you do that now?
I just get myself the stuff I want, and I tell everybody else to go fuck themselves.
Beautiful. Make that into a Christmas song, man. Yeah.
Spencer's mad. The beard is long.
He bought some gifts. So sing along. There you go. See? It's not fucking hard.
Sir Paul McCartney.
I don't respect
you. Should be able
British.
To take your fucking knighthood away for that fucking song.
You should at least make you fight a dragon.
Yeah.
You should have. Okay. If that's going to be because you didn't get knighted for your ability to protect the king.
Yeah.
You got knighted for recording yesterday. Yeah. So now that you recorded that Christmas song, fight a dragon.
Yeah.
And we'll call it even.
Well, I don't think you should be... I like what you're saying, because I think people get all victim-y around the holidays and get morose, and they pretend they don't have control over what's going on. But you can... It's so fun just to... Oh, I'll tell you my Christmas memory. Christmas Day, I'm driving... I'm by myself, and I'm driving Christmas morning down. I'm in West Hollywood driving. The streets are empty. It's so fun to drive in Christmas. The streets are empty. I'm driving some kind of like, you guys are probably not going to believe me. And sometimes I still think, was it a hallucination? But crossing the street
was a giant mushroom.
even weirder. Crossing the street was like a little buggy with a goat pulling it. And a little person riding in the buggy. I still wonder, did I dream it? Was it? But I saw it. I saw it, and it quickly went across the street.
Crossing at the crosswalk?
It wasn't a crosswalk. It was just, it was like coming down from Fairfax. I don't know where he's going.
Wait, I'm sorry. It was a boat and a little person?
It was a goat pulling a little buggy with a little person in it.
Was the little person doing this voluntarily? Was the little person upset about this arrangement?
No.
Paint the picture. Was the little person like? Did he have reins? Did he have a buggy whip?
It was fucking sinister, man. It was like a merging of dimensions or something. Like this.
What sort of goat? Those big goats or the little mini goats?
It was enough of a goat to pull a buggy with a dwarf in it.
But also define buggy, because that's the other thing.
Like a little. It almost looked like a baby carriage. It was very gothy, man. It looked like a goth baby carriage. It was creepy. Now I'm saying this, and I feel like, am I lying? Look, did this really happen to me?
I want to live in a world where this did happen.
It did happen, yeah. Man.
So does David Lynch.
Now, okay. Were they crossing the street from sidewalk to sidewalk, or are they going down the street?
Crossing.
Crossing. And did it look like they were going with purpose, or what was the look on the little person's face?
Yes.
They were headed to the carrot stand, for sure. The goat looked tired.
No, the look was like, you know, like when you would see a squirrel that's trying to get from tree to tree?
Right.
It was like that kind of fervent, and it knows it's not supposed to get seen or something.
Are you describing the goat or the little person right now?
But every part of the equation.
So they were a team. They were a team.
Yes.
They worked together.
This was a duo.
Yeah. Yeah.
This wasn't a goat making away with a little person.
Wasn't kidnapping a little person.
This was a goat-driven
The little person hadn't found themselves in this situation.
A little person.
Where they're like, no one's going to believe this, and how do I get out of this? Because no matter how much I wave my arms, people keep waving back. And
I have 300 questions.
The truth is, I found my way into this buggy. This goat toad buggy, and now it looks like I'm supposed to be in it.
Have you ever?
And I can't get out. And
was the little person dressed up as Santa Claus or anything elf like?
No,
or
the
anything?
Little person was wearing black.
Black. And this was Christmas, what, day?
Christmas morning.
Christmas
and I thought,
morning.
Is this some kind of like satanic art experiment where they know that only lonely people are driving around on Christmas morning? And if he goes by in his carriage, it'll freak him out permanently?
Now, did you just drive past and say, what the hell? I think I would have pursued them.
I was so depressed that day that I was just like, of course, yeah.
Boy, doesn't that sum it all up. talk about dashed expectations. Jeez Louise.
For who? The goat?
For everybody. I think the goat.
The goat answered a Craigslist ad and was like, this is not.
Yeah. I'd like to think that was just like the world's most funny little person. Just like, I'm just going to make everybody's day really complicated. Yeah. My friend Belford on Fairfax one day, on New Year's Day, like at noon. So everyone's getting ready to whatever party they're going to go to. And he's walking up Fairfax, like kind of around Cantor's and Damiano's Pizza. And he's going up the street. And he sees about two blocks up coming down, like from where Fairfax High would be. There's a guy, maybe homeless, maybe not, like down on his luck for sure, but like, you know, not wearing
definitely renting.
Yeah, not wearing his Sunday best, but kind of a ragamuffin dude coming at him at a full sprint from about two blocks away. And Fred's a big guy. He's like 6'4", 6'5", and like he can handle himself. But there's a guy coming down the road at a full clip and like full steam ahead at him. And there's no one else on the sidewalk, and Fred's kind of bracing himself, and the guy runs up to him and grabs him by the shoulders and goes, Happy New Year, man! Only four more to go! And then runs off. But here's the thing.
Holy shit.
But here's the thing. It was not 1996. Or 1998. It didn't round up to any, like Mayan, not 98, but like didn't round up to Mayan calendars or the end of the millennium.
That's like page 23 of a Paul Rudd movie. then he has to spend the next, that's how he finds out.
Yeah, but then the guy just grabbed him, dispensed that happy information. Only four more to go. Like he's happy. Like we're gonna make it. And then just kept going.
Time traveler.
Yeah. I had a friend that used to run down the streets. He would take his shirt off, like when he'd be in foreign towns, And he would take his shirt off and just run. He'd go, I'll be right back. And he'd just go charging. And he was a giant dude as well. And he would charge down the street and he'd grab somebody and go, what day is today? What day is it? And I go, what today? What day is it? Go, Wednesday. Well, no, the date, man, the date. They go, June 11th. No, the year. The year. 1998. It worked. And then he just run down the street yelling at work in his underwear.
That seems like that's a lot of energy to put into a show for one person. I don't know where the payoff happens there. Speaking of payoff, let's thank Anatoly for being our Russian Santa Claus this evening. Well, we need the chair now. We gotta send you back into the front row where you can prop your Uggs up on the stage, like, you know, like this is your home. God damn it!
You can't just throw jingle bells on that piece of shit fucking synthesizer and call that a Christmas song. I want to punch everybody.
It seems like a song that you would write and play to make your mom say stop it.
Spencer, do you have a favorite Christmas tune, a holiday song?
They're all terrible.
All of them? The concept of favorite is not logical. Duncan, why would I choose something over another thing? It doesn't make sense.
Well, they're all just terrible. I mean...
No way, man. Good King Wenceslas. That's a good one.
What?
Come on, man. You love it. You love Wenceslas.
Have you ever heard Good King Wenceslas?
Oh, man. Oh, fucking
vaguely
get
familiar.
You gotta get your Wenceslas... Loss on.
Wins loss. I don't get it.
Spencer,
everyone's having a beverage moment.
Spencer,
like.
What are you going to tell your kids about Santa Claus? How are you going to handle that? I always wonder about that.
That's pretty optimistic thinking of you.
Okay.
Come on. You're nothing if not fecund.
Then I am nothing.
There was a TV special when David Bowie and Bing Crosby fucking got it together, man. And Bing Crosby is being very good about it because he's like, what is this? Like, the guy, he's so weird, but Bing Crosby is just like, I'm playing ball. And this is a goodie. You don't know? Come on.
No, everyone knows it. Google it. We're on a podcast.
So Bing goes, peace on earth. And then Bowie goes, he goes with his weird tenor. So good. What was that show? What was the special they were on?
It was Bing Crosby Christmas special, right?
Yeah. Star Wars,
yeah. All right. We got 13, what is it? 23 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Let's play
some Christmas Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, wait, let me find a Christmas Christmas song.
Erin can't be here. She's sick at home. She doesn't want to.
You know what we should do? We should get a gal on stage because it's been very male heavy.
Well, I was going to bring up Rob Schraub.
Well, same difference. Rob Schraub to the stage.
What's that? No. You stay here. I was going to bring up Schraub. But yeah, just because it's Christmas and. No, it's Christmas. It's a special show. I just wanted to end the year. You know.
Hello.
I heard you out there. I almost got killed by an SUV with you once.
I was driving with one arm, too. Like, I was just, I did, I think I just went.
Yeah.
Like that. I just went, I think it was just totally like, I was driving like.
And you know that if we were on Melrose. Passing Highland, you know that means like there's a statistical 95% chance that we were going to some shitty ass pitch meeting.
Bar.
It
was at night, wasn't it?
It was broad daylight.
Oh, okay, all right.
There's a good chance we weren't on our way to make entertainment history.
Right,
like we were going to hear a fucking. Have somebody tell us we got the rights to an article about this guy who turned a slinky into a car, and we would have died.
We could have been meeting John Lovitz to go meet Bob Greenblatt to pitch his sitcom for HBO.
Shrab, a Christmas wish? Do you have a wish for this Christmas?
Well, I'm going to miss you guys. You guys are going to Scotland.
Where are you going to be? You're going somewhere else.
I'm going to San Francisco to hang out with
Kate. Visit the homeland.
Yes. To hang out with Kate's sister and her husband.
He smirked because he thought I was going to do some gay joke.
You said the homeland.
I know.
You said the homeland.
I did that for you because you we're so old that it's like the world doesn't even respect that anymore. It doesn't like known each other 25 years or something. So he thought I was going to go, ha, San Francisco. Fag.
I mean, within the realm of possibility.
You never know with me.
Yeah.
All right.
That's not really a wish, though. I hope you guys are safe on your...
You wish that all the snow could be balls. All right.
All right.
Not true.
Spencer, I've looked through my Christmas playlist, and I've tried to find the most spooky Christmas song I have to give you the intro music to.
That's good.
Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Let's play some D&D.
Sorry, I'm here.
I could help Dungeon Master.
Quark.
What do you want to roll the dice?
I could do that.
So, no. Rob, you'll be Mulrain Sedana.
That's character. Aaron's character. And Duncan will be Krista Berg.
Krista Berg.
Kumail's character.
All right. Shit.
And
is he still messed up from that last time?
Character sheets are dispensed. Spencer, cool. Spooky Christmas. D&D.
Oh, shit, I don't have glasses.
Spooky Christmas. It doesn't matter, Rob.
It.
This is going to be hard.
This is great.
The dice are rolled. The die is cast. I fucked it up already.
Yeah, last time on Harmontown. Should I do it like Spooky Christmas?
No, can you structure it like Paul's lyrics?
Sharpie remembered for the third time that he had a hawk. He talked to Midge Hurwitz. I had a good time. I guess I can't. After pulling off Admiral Darkstar's dark head, our heroes were now attacking his metallic golem. As Sharpie attacked from the inside on what he could swear was a heart, Mulrain attempted to melt the metal monster's steel skin with her blazing armor. After their individual attempts failed, the heroes outside the golem began attacking the head in unison, sawing and cleaving at its neck in true decapitative fashion. Meanwhile, Sharpie and Avenger cracked wise and shrunk the glowing red heart node before diving into two holes that were revealed to be the golem's legs. Down there they spied glowing stones, and Sharpie shrunk one because he was on a roll shrinking stuff, and it caused the golem to shudder and the stone's glow to dim. It seemed as if it was just a matter of time until the golem was disassembled. That's all, I don't know. That sounds forced.
That's cool.
I'm having a wonderful Christmas time.
So you guys know what to do now?
No, not really. Why would they? That doesn't
Spencer,
make sense.
Spencer, where am I, Quark, located right now?
You, as well as Duncan and Rob, you guys are sitting... Imagine sitting on the shoulders of this giant robot man.
Are we still sawing his head off?
Yeah, you two are sawing at his head with a wire saw, and you are hacking at it with your sword.
All right. How far away through the neck are we right now?
You know... about a third on each side, so there's about a third left.
How big is this guy's neck?
He's a giant metal man.
I take my mighty great sword, pull it back out, and give it one more big slash.
One more? Okay.
He resents your audacity.
All right. Well.
You're not Robert Redford in The Natural. You don't know that you're going to spark this scoreboard.
Dan, as Frederick the Great said, L'audace, l'audace, toujours l'audace.
did he?
That's audacious, audacious, always audacious.
I heard that Robert the OK said that, and Robert the Great took that. Wait, who did you credit that with?
Robert the amazing.
Robert the.
So yeah, like Robert the amazing, you swing your sword. Did he have one? Whatever. Move past it, Spencer. Dealing, you're not dealing damage in this case, but you shear the final bits of metal off this thing's head. Its head falls off and clangs to the ground.
Merry Christmas!
Yes.
The head is off. The robot's dead.
And that's enough.
Simply sawing
a big robotic golem's head.
That was fun.
What's in his neck?
Yeah, what's in his neck? We look in his neck.
You see a floating, glowing stone. It's glowing with a topaz light.
I yell down ironically and sarcastically to Sharpie, it looks like it's heart.
You're down in the
foot. We should grab that topaz thing.
I scramble up to, I mean, what do I perceive? What do I know?
You're in a foot. So when the head came off, you could hear the shearing of metal and then like a shaft of light kind of going into the neck hole there.
I vomit on the thing.
You sure do.
I put my fingers in.
I hold his hair.
I just fell out.
You guys are real friends.
Let it all out. Let it all out. You guys don't understand. You guys are not there for him. You're not there for him like I am.
How does
I always have to sit in the back seat? Are you okay? Are you all right?
So does my character understand maybe? If I were to go toward the light.
Sure, but I gotta... Were you vomiting into the neck hole?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you look up towards this light. And then you get vomit all splattered around you. I mean, you guys get what's happening. I don't know how to explain it any better.
Yeah, did Krista Berg just vomit all over Sharpie?
Yeah.
So Krista Berg can just vomit voluntarily?
No, he shoved his fingers down his mouth.
Yeah.
All right.
Fingers?
I don't know.
No, he's the bulimic.
Well, there you go.
Now, what does it do to the floating thing in there? Like, how does the vomit interact with the glowing?
Oh, you were trying to hit the glowing thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if it's hot.
Well, that's... Wait, what?
just let him go with this. This is actually a really good idea.
Like, does the vomit sizzle? Yeah. How does it interact?
Okay.
It's the only way to detect temperature.
Right.
I mean, it's not the only. It's certainly the most efficient.
Before you answer, I start peeing on it. But I'm a lady, so I have to hike up my skirt or something. What do I do?
Yeah. I'll hike your skirt up for you.
Oh, hike up my skirt, and then I just kind of...
I'm standing on a shoulder, and where the head fell, I just pee off the shoulder down to where the head is. I just start peeing on the severed head.
Are we seeing any steam coming up?
No. Okay. So well, you guys both missed your pees. So
did you roll?
What about our cues?
I rolled it.
You rolled a pee check?
I rolled it. It's a dexterity, but yeah. But. Krista Berg, however, does vomit directly onto the surface of this crystal.
It's all for naught.
It doesn't sizzle, really. It doesn't sizzle.
Am I emerging from the neck and seeing this thing?
Oh, is that was? Are you gonna? Yeah, you were clambering up, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Yeah. You clamber up. It's a bit tough because you're all slick with vomit.
But that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
Some
trickled off the thing, or did he puke on me?
Some dribbled off.
It was floating in the middle of his neck hole. So he puked into the neck hole. Some of it got on this crystal. Uh-huh. The rest of it splattered down.
Where's the crystal relative to the golem's body?
It's essentially floating, hovering in mid-neck hole.
Mid-neck hole?
Yeah.
Is it within reach?
It's like its brain. I know how much you hate it when I try to get...
Why would the brain be in his neck hole?
Yeah, why?
Well, because his head's off now, but this thing remains. It's floating mid-neck hole.
Yeah, mid-neck hole.
Could be his Adam's apple.
Where his head would be, or down in the neck?
No, like right at the neck collar.
Yeah,
so, guys, I think it's the carotid amethyst.
It's a topaz.
If I know my golem ring.
All right.
So you are you up out of the neck now?
Yep.
I'm up in the neck area.
You burst forth.
I'd like to touch this topaz vomit.
Right, that was your question. This hole is about a 5-foot radius, so you'd have to stretch like pretty far to reach that thing.
I extend him a hand and let him lean out so he can touch the topaz.
All right.
Unless I cast, I don't have it.
Why don't you just cast teamwork?
Fine.
It's the greatest spell of all. Anyway, working together, you manage to reach out and grasp this this power crystal of some sort. You grab it. It feels like it's being held in place with like a magnetic kind of force, but as you grab it, it kind of goes away. Like it won't, you know, get stuck there.
How big is this thing?
Pretty small, like maybe the size of an eyeball.
Oh, he puked on it, but it's the size of an eyeball.
Yeah, that's why it didn't like. Yeah, he only puked on it with a little bit of puke. The rest of it was free to splatter on.
A human eyeball, right?
You shrunk it.
Different thing. Not the heart. Not the heart. Topaz.
So is the golem Topaz still? Is the golem moving still, or is it? What's it doing while we do this to it?
I mean, this hasn't taken too long, I guess. Inducing vomiting is only a few seconds.
That's true.
It's been a bit momentarily stunned by the loss of its head. It hasn't started moving since this.
Let's fuck up this topaz, man.
Yeah, can we just grab the topaz and throw it away?
He grabbed it, so you've grabbed it.
Am I holding onto it? Is it like holding my weight?
No. That's the thing.
Oh, I got it?
Yeah, you got it.
I pull him back in to the shoulder area.
I put it in my pocket.
Okay, that happens. You pull each other in and you pocket the thing.
Is the golem still moving? Is it still...
It hasn't moved since being decapitated.
What's funny over here?
Nothing.
Come on.
No, nothing.
Are you simply having a wonderful Christmas time?
I just think it's fun.
I climb down his back. Like, is he wearing clothing of some sort? Is it skin or what's
going on? No, he's got like metal.
Metal.
Is he wearing a ladder?
No.
Well, now we know.
Yeah. It's a great question, Rob.
I slide down his back and grab him around the waist and just kind of like as a joke, kind of look up and start kind of dry humping him from behind.
Yeah.
I get out of it and I. So now am I in the keep where we fought Admiral Darkstar? Or am I?
Yep, the level right before the level you were. This is the level with all those bodies, I guess, all the blood buckets.
Yeah, I walk over to a window and I look out of it.
You do that. You can see just like snow and whiteness. It's
snow?
All cold. Yeah.
Can I climb down and push the golem over?
Yeah.
Wait. I'm still up here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come down.
Let's go down together.
Okay.
We walk down together.
I stay on him. I want to be on him when he goes over. That'd be funny. Cause, like, I'm still fucking him.
Push one ankle. I'll push the other.
So we push over the golem.
In unison, you push the golem's ankles, and at first it begins to creak and then totter a bit, maybe? And then topple, in fact. Topple over in a pile of clanging metal.
Happens. Okay.
I touch the frosted glass at the window I'm standing in as I look out at the fresh, new-fallen snow, and I think about family. And I think about... a little baby born in a manger.
I start telling everybody how Christmas comes from mushrooms.
You make several cogent points.
I examine the room for doors, other ways of egress.
The only way through this door is a large metal hatch in the floor.
I examine it.
It's large and metal.
Krista Berg, you're a rogue. You're good at doors. Get over here and try to open this thing.
Okay. I go over to the door and I vomit on it. No, that's stupid. I don't know why.
Wait to see where he's going with this. Does it sizzle?
No, I use it. It's the only way I know if things are hot. I
hate to come to your house, man.
You don't want me to cook for you, man.
No.
Hey, Duggan, are the pancakes ready?
Hey, get the door. I think my grandmother's coming. Let the dog out. Okay. I'm expecting a package.
No, I... I use my thieving skills to analyze the door to make sure it's not trapped or to see if it's a trap door.
Nice. It's certainly not trapped, although you're not quite sure how it opens.
There's got to be stuff you'd say while you were investigating and examining.
Oh, this door, it seems like a classic big heavy metal door. It doesn't appear to be trapped as many of the doors that I've seen before.
Yeah.
I don't know. What does a thief say? It looks, the door's fine, everybody. Let's pull it up.
All right.
Let's do that.
Let's grab it. Grab that door.
So I try to pull the door up.
You try, but you fail. It seems like it's some sort of sliding rather than a swinging, actuating hinge.
Slide the door.
I slide the door.
You slide the door, and below it you see only lava.
I puke on it.
Yeah.
It sizzles.
It sizzles.
You ended up.
Is it hot lava? Is it hot?
Yeah, very.
Okay, good. Now we know.
Yeah.
I told you guys.
Yeah.
Puke sizzles when it touches hard things.
I'm on your side.
So we beat Admiral Darkstar, right? We beat him. We came to his place. We kicked his ass. We're done. Right, we're walking around, we're looking through lava doors, but the truth is, we beat this guy.
We won.
We
want to celebrate?
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, what if we just said to you 3 weeks later,
they were all found dead.
All right. Let's not say that.
There's more to do.
I guess we do have to make our way out of this building.
Okay, fine. Well, it just seems like a little...
Spencer, the only way out of this building is the lava door on the floor?
Are there any lava boats?
No, there's no lava boats. Yeah, that's the only thing.
Roll.
The only other thing is a staircase, but it goes up ways. It doesn't go down ways.
I go up the staircase and check it out.
I go up.
That's that floor where you saw Admiral Darkstar. There's a dark pillar of blackened crystal and a big hole in the floor where that robot arm came out.
Yeah. So what else?
Are we sure Admiral Darkstar is dead?
I mean, who's sure of anything, man?
I don't think he's dead. I think this is all
only one way to find out. is there a body?
There's no windows, doors in this room. There's just stairs.
I mean, there's windows. Yeah, empty windows.
There's snow outside.
Yeah.
Can we go through the window and down into the snow? And
you can try. Yeah.
There's a servant laying on the floor, unconscious.
No, there isn't.
Is there a servant on the floor laying unconscious?
I mean,
I run over to a possible unconscious servant and I rouse him or her.
Wait, why are you roused? You're going to wake him up right away? Let's puke on him.
Yeah.
What if he's hot? I want to go over to one of these windows. How far down is it outside?
It's several hundred feet.
How would feather fall?
I have 150 feet of rope, it says on here.
Yeah.
So we can use the rope to climb down. Are we trying to get out of here?
That's my instinct.
Sure. So we push, I take the servant's unconscious body, and I push him out of the window.
You don't see the servant. There's no servant.
No.
There is no servant, sir.
There certainly was.
He's gone.
I mean, yeah. People move. It's crazy.
I jump through the window and cast Featherfall.
All right, that happens.
And I climb down on my rope.
I have 100 feet of rope, and I tie it onto you.
Great.
You're the only source of casting Featherfall on people, and you're the first one out the door.
Oh, I can cast
it's like
it on them?
The guy who builds parachutes.
I didn't know I could even cast it on other people.
Hey,
that's okay.
Can we
we're
all
good.
Jump together?
Krista Berg, throw Sharpie the rope, bring him back up, and let's try this again.
Yeah.
Back to one, everybody.
Yeah. But I'm. Why don't we just go down my rope?
Yeah, and then go down my rope.
It's several hundred feet.
Well, I've got 100 of
And
those.
I have 150 feet. We tie the rope
let's
together.
Let's just get Sharpie back up here. Make him build us magic parachutes.
Well, I gotta climb up rope and then your rope. Well,
we don't have enough rope to even get him back up here.
Well, he's feather falling. He's not falling too fast.
I make a lasso and I throw it down to catch him as he feather falls.
Are we gonna swing from him falling?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You throw him the rope and you catch the rope if you want to. I mean, if you don't, it's like fuck it.
I'll catch it.
Thank you.
So we pull him back up because he's got to cast feather fall on us.
He feels as light as a feather.
So we pull him up back to the.
Well, I don't want to go back up.
Come up for 2 seconds and feather fall.
You're the guy that can get us all down. Okay. You left us hanging out here.
Okay.
Also, guys, I turn them and say, look, it's getting late and it's Christmas time, and I feel like, you know, we don't know whether or not the sun will come out tomorrow, whether Admiral Darkstar is going to come get us. So it's kind of praying for some miracle to happen right now to end this show.
I cut Kumail's character's penis off.
Now I throw up.
Does it sizzle?
Yes.
Yeah, that. Merry Christmas, everybody.
All right, I guess that's it.
Thank you, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Don't forget where we were in this game. We're going to be a couple weeks before we see you again.
Yeah, we're going to be gone for a while. Thank you so much for enjoying us throughout this year. We'll see you in the new year. Let's thank
Christmas.
Anatoly, Rob Schraub, Duncan Trussell, Spencer Crittenden, Dan, who sang the Nat King Cole song very wonderfully. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. One more time for the mayor of Harmontown. Dan Harmon.
Thank you for another year of audio fortitude from Zach. And did you thank Zach and Dustin, our producer, and... I don't know. Who else is doing shit back here?
I will say, in a time of gratefulness and gratitude, I'm very happy to be a part of the show. And you guys, the people that come here live, all of you listening, the people that come here live to the show are the coolest and most wonderful people in the world. And I hope one day we can see you too. Thank you all. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Well done, comics, for giving us a home. Thank you.